This is Jay Sekulow, a swap for Gitmo detainees and a Middle East policy in disarray.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Barack Obama has shown that he believes he is above the law, as there are serious questions now being raised about whether or not the Bergdahl prison exchange was even legal.
Point blank, does the president feel as though on this issue and this kind of issue he's above the law?
Absolutely not. To be clear, the 30-day notice requirement has appeared in NDAA bills and in other legislation in this and prior years, and we have repeatedly noted concerns with this requirement. In signing statements, the president has consistently made clear that the executive branch must have the flexibility to act swiftly in conducting negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of detainee transfers if necessary. And that was certainly the case here.
Stunning new reports on Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's actions before he disappeared, his squad team leader. Were you shocked? Did you believe this of him based on what you knew of him?
Obviously, nobody believes that anybody's just going to walk away from a military base, especially in the middle of Afghanistan, in the middle, it's so far out onto the front lines. No one believes someone's going to do that. However, things that he said to me personally, things that he said to other members in the platoon leading up to that, they were not shocking or alarming at the time. However, when he walked away, that light bulb went off and it was like, yep, he walked away. I guess it's not that surprising.
Does the State Department consider Sergeant Bergdahl to be a deserter?
The State Department, no, Lucas. Look, what we've said is we are going to learn the facts about what happened here. We said very clearly in a statement from the Secretary on Saturday that Sergeant Bergdahl was a member of the United States military who volunteered to serve his country. We don't know the facts about what happened yet.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
My answer to that is nonsense. We know what happened here. His platoon members know what happened. But let me play for you. This is what, again, folks, is the administration, again, once again, putting Susan Rice out to the Sunday talk shows and makes this statement. Listen to 17.
And if it's found that he did indeed leave his post, will he be disciplined or has already paid the price?
Certainly, anybody who's been held in those conditions in captivity for 5 years has paid an extraordinary price. But that is really not the point. The point is that he's back. He's going to be safely reunited with his family. He served the United States with honor and distinction. And we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years.
Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to bring David French and Skip Ash, both military men, in our offices here, in our media center, and in our offices at the campus at Regent University. Based on the information that you've seen, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Ash retired. Was this someone that served the United States with honor and distinction?
Absolutely not. You know, the whole idea, when you get out in the combat, it's your team that counts, and it's teamwork. You depend on one another. Here's a man in a extreme situation who walks away from his team. These are people who depend on him for their livelihood and for their safety, and he betrayed that. He is not one who served with honor and distinction, as this administration maintains.
Folks, we're taking your calls. What about the Obama administration playing this game in the White House Rose Garden with this ceremony? What's the politics of this? 1-800-684-3110. David French, senior counsel of the ACLJ, major United States Army Judge Advocate General. Susan Rice, once again on the shows, honor and distinction.
Well, you know, that really, there is no evidence right now that has emerged in any news discussion that he served with honor and distinction. Instead, the evidence is that he voluntarily walked away. There's even evidence where he wrote a letter renouncing his citizenship when he walked away. The dispute now is whether he cooperated with the Taliban and actively sought them out. So there's no evidence of honor here.
Folks, we're going to get more information on this, and we're talking about it and taking your calls. And what was the president trying to do with that statement that he's been making? And why did we release five leaders of the Taliban and put Americans at risk? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. At the same time, a U.S. citizen in prison in Sudan, two children, and the White House doing nothing. We're fighting for Miriam. We need your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. There's a relationship between the plight of Saeed Abedini and Miriam Ibrahim and what has just transpired with letting go of Gitmo detainees. 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition. Speak out if you're objecting to what the administration is doing here, or ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Here, that's what you got to be asking yourself. And I think the plan was maybe some kind of diversion. But we've got 5 Taliban leaders released for a soldier that appears to have left his base. And they sent Susan Rice out again, you know, claiming that he was served with honor and distinction. And even the liberal media is saying something's not right here. And then you got Senator Dianne Feinstein. Let me play for you what she has now said about the president ignoring the law.
We added a 30-day notification to the intelligence authorization bill, and we laid out the specificity of the requirement that the Congress be notified 30 days before any proposed transfer of any detainee at Guantanamo. The concerns were bipartisan, and I strongly believe that we should have been consulted, that the law should have been followed, and I very much regret that was not the case.
All right, that is not the case, though, as Senator Feinstein said. So Than Bennett, head of our government affairs, we now are mobilizing on this, obviously, as we're concerned about the legal issues, but also concerned about our national security. We have a full national security team here at the ACLJ. You got bipartisan objections here. What's the consequence for this president?
Well, listen, I haven't said this a whole lot, but I agree with Senator Dianne Feinstein on this. I mean, the White House is treating this as a technicality under the law. It's not a technicality. It's a requirement. And here's the shocking thing, Jay. Back in 2011, Senator Dianne Feinstein was asked about the White House about the idea of releasing these same 5 detainees. Her response: do not do it. It is too dangerous. And the response back from Secretary Hillary Clinton: we understand that we have to give you 30 days notification if we ever plan to do it. She didn't get that notification. Jay, she's furious. She's an ally of the president, but she's furious. She's going to talk back.
And I want to play, yep. You just heard from Senator Feinstein. I want to play this in a juxtaposition here. So now you've got, you know, Senate's upset. Susan Rice, we played that. He served with honor and distinction. Then when the State Department is asked about Miriam Ibrahim and the fact of U.S. citizenship with her children, listen to Byte 3 and listen to the response of the State Department.
Now that we publicly know that he's a U.S. citizen, these children, this one-week-old little girl and this 20-month-old boy, these are the children of a U.S. citizen that's being held by the government of Sudan.
Well, without commenting on this particular scenario, I can say that certain requirements must be met for parents to transmit U.S. citizenship to their children. And I would point you to our website and look at the INA requirements for what is required in that case.
Oh, so now all of a sudden, David French, there's requirements to get, you know, for Miriam Ibrahim to get her 2 kids
American citizens out of a jail in Sudan, there's requirements that have to be met. But to release five Gitmo detainees at the highest level, and there's a law saying you can't do it without notification and certification to Congress, I guess the requirements don't matter then.
Well, here's what matters. The Obama agenda. The President Obama's agenda matters. And his agenda right now is to wrap up the war in Afghanistan as quickly as possible. And if there is an American soldier still there, he can't wrap up the war. So he's going to get that soldier home however he needs to do it, even if the price is what Senator Graham rightly called the Taliban dream team.
Right.
Now, Christians in prison in Muslim lands, even American children in prison in Muslim lands, that's an annoyance. That's a distraction to his agenda. They're low on his priority list. They're not even on his priority
list.
Yeah,
I was going to say, they're not on the list, folks, but they need to be on our list. And by the way, you know how many people are standing up for Miriam Ebrahim and, important, just as important, her children right now? 347,986 of you have contacted us online alone. Now, we are 2 days from closing this petition out. We've already started talking, as Stan mentioned. He's talking with members of Congress now. We're talking with the Sudanese government. We're getting it to them. Stand up for this. You see the juxtaposition, what we're trying to show you here. Oh, there's rules and regulations when it comes to getting two Americans out of a jail in Sudan or in Iran. But when it comes to releasing five leadership members of the Taliban held in Gitmo, well, we don't have to do anything then. So if you want to speak out, you're not only saying yes to get Miriam Ebrahim released, you're saying that the administration needs to play by the rules when they're doing it the wrong way and or the right way. They got to play by the rules. And if they're held doing it the wrong way, they're held accountable. Here's what you do. You go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. And you sign that petition. Again, this is it, folks. Last couple of days here. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Skip, I'm going to take calls, by the way. Folks, I want to know your reaction to all of this, whether it's Miriam Ebrahim, whether it's about Pastor Saeed, whether it's about these detainees. How do you feel about these five Gitmo detainees being released and the president not complying with the law? How do you feel about the fact that there are people that are objecting to it? In fact, let me play something for you right now, number 15.
According to those around him, his platoon mates, his squad mates, company mates, they said he walked off the
base. Some of them, there are conflicting reports out there about this. Look,
are there?
There are. Go Google it on the web and you'll find a ton of conflicting reports. The fact is, we're still establishing...
Well, I just got to jump in right there. Google it on the web? This is what's coming out of the United States State Department. Google it on the web. That's how we have our intelligence done now.
Dude, that was like a day ago.
Yeah, I mean, right. There you go. When he was on with, Brett Baer? Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, Skip, you served in the military a long time. What's your reaction? Is the United States left less safe today than it was 48 hours ago, 72 hours ago?
Absolutely. These are some of the most dangerous people in the world. These are terrorists. These are people who despise the United States. They despise them before they were imprisoned, and I don't think the length of time they've spent in prison in Guantanamo Bay has endeared them anymore to the United States. What they are going to want is revenge. They are being treated as heroes, and the Taliban is going to put them right back into the mix, and they're going to be coming after us again, and American citizens' lives are in danger because they were released.
All right, folks, again, we're taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110, but if you want to stand for Miriam Ebrahim and those like her, including those American kids, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go to the phones again. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Paul. He's calling from New York on line two. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon. Great job you guys are doing.
Thanks.
I just was listening to some stations last night. Supposedly, the Taliban requested these five
they did.
Guys.
Demanded is more like it. Not just a request. It was a demand, yes.
They request those specific five people they
Correct.
Want to release. On top of this, it seems like all the talking points, they seem like they all got a memo and they're all rehearsing the same lines because they all sound exactly the same with the will nots and the cannots and the do nots and the must nots. It just seems like in a very aggressive way.
Well, internally, we know this because Hillary Clinton has just now come out. David can allude to this a little bit. Hillary Clinton's just come out and said basically, or has leaked out, that she was opposed to this transfer.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is the first crack in the wall here. Hillary Clinton has leaked, her people have leaked to mainstream media that she opposed this from the beginning, that she was adamantly opposed to this. That's a big deal. The mainstream media, the New York Times, CNN, they've been reporting harshly on this. That's a very big deal. This is one of the first times I can recall in a long time, if ever, that the mainstream media has not been buying the Obama administration talking points.
You know, and Than, how's that playing on Capitol Hill? Because here's the question. I mean, the president here knowingly, you know, ignores the law, releases five Gitmo detainees of the highest caliber of danger to the United States, and at the same time, the very same time, no notification or certification, ignores what the law is. And you've got bipartisan opposition. What's the accountability here? What about a demand for oversight hearings? We start that process tomorrow, demanding what happened here, demanding to know what went on.
You're absolutely right, and I think that's going to happen because you know who would chair those intelligent oversight committees? It would be Dianne Feinstein, and we already talked about this. The Dream Team, these five terrorists that were released, yes, they're right. The Taliban has been asking about them for years, and a couple of years ago, in 2011, the White House actually thought it might be a good idea. You know who put a stop to it? It was Secretary Clinton and Dianne Feinstein and Saxby Chambliss. So she's right. She was opposed to it, and this time around, the president said, well, they're opposed to it, I'm just going to go around him.
Folks, it's like a tale of two cities when you look at what's going on here. We come back from the break. Our phone lines are jammed. We're going to get to your phone calls, including we've got John calling from Virginia. He's an active duty Navy. I want to certainly talk to him and get his impression. We'll get him next. But let me tell you this, folks. I want you to understand what's going on here. We've got this whole statement where they say there's rules and regulations when it comes to getting two American kids held in Sudan with their parents, with their mother, at the death penalty for the mother. There's all kind of requirements. When it comes to releasing Gitmo detainees and complying with the requirements of the law, the administration ignores the law. So they act as if they are above the law. And do you think that they have the right to act like they're above the law? My answer to that is they do not, and they should be held accountable for it. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want you to share this information about Miriam Ibrahim on Facebook and also get it out on other social media. It's very important that you like our Facebook, ACLJ's, mine, Jordan's. Very important you get that information out, folks. What we're doing is we're gonna keep the petition, of course, up on BeHeardProject.com. But we've now got, are approaching 350,000. We've started already, but we're going to really start the process of putting the political and international and global pressure on. We've reached what we call a critical mass. So this may be the last day for you to sign on that petition, at least on radio. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to speak out for Miriam Ibrahim. You look at the way we're treating Gitmo detainees versus what we're doing to Americans in jail in Iran. And also, of course, back in the Sudan. Unbelievable. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. We are going to, obviously, this issue is huge with the Gitmo detainees. I want to ask Than, well, let me really start with Skip, and then I'm going to go to David on this. And that's, we were talking about some of this during the break on what all this means, how it's playing out, what the consequences of these actions are. And so let me start with Skip, with you. Your sense of what's happened here, the proportionality of what's happened here. And did the White House expect this to happen?
I don't think the White House expected this at all. They do not understand the military culture. People go into the military because of all sorts of reasons, but when they're actually out there in the fight, their loyalty is to the guy to the left and to the right of them. Those are the people for whom they're fighting. And to have somebody break up that team and intentionally walk off the fight, you leave a gap, it's a betrayal, and the military cannot forgive that type of betrayal. So when they speak up like they have been and they're telling the story that really happened, not what the administration would like people to believe, that's why they didn't anticipate that. They thought the military would salute, say yes, sir, and go on. But the people down in the trenches who experienced this themselves and experienced the betrayal, they're the ones speaking up and they're the ones telling the truth about this.
And you know, they're outraged. David, I know you served in Iraq in the war there, and so you've had this experience. You're also a judge advocate general, but let's talk about the political side of this for a moment, and that is the fallout. I'm going to ask Than this too, and then we're going to go right to the calls here. The White House was not anticipating this.
No.
Kind of. I mean, they're getting blasted from the left, right, and center.
If they anticipated this, they would not have had Sergeant Bergdahl's parents in a Rose Garden ceremony.
Yeah. Right.
An individual who, by the way, had made his father, who had made unbelievable anti-American statements, statements. And, you know, it just shows exactly what Skip said. They don't understand military culture. That the motto, the creed, leave no man behind, does not mean die for deserters. And it does not mean hand the Taliban victories.
Right.
Victories to get a deserter home. I mean, that is.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. John is active duty Navy from Virginia's on line four. Let's go right to him. John, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
To me, this guy's a, for one, a deserter. He turned his back on the flag. He turned his back on the uniform. And he turned his back on his country. Now, how many lives were lost to capture these five leaders that we had?
Right.
That we no longer have. I mean, yeah, you may be keeping track of them, where they're at, what they're doing. But all they have to do is go underground again, hide, and then plan their next attack. Five Taliban leaders for one guy that turns his back on everybody in the U.S., everybody, every one of his brothers in uniform. And we give up something so substantial for someone like him. It angers me to no point that I can't even explain. And I hope my brothers in arms feel the same way, because I feel betrayed as an American that my president would do something like that behind everyone's back. Not even, you know, talk to the American people about it, hey, you know, or his administration about it, or the Congress like he was supposed to, like the law
right.
that he's supposed to follow.
David.
You know, John, I'm so glad you called. You are saying exactly what I'm seeing, what my friends are saying to me that I served with, what people I know who are serving currently are reaching out to me and sharing with me. What you are expressing is what hundreds of thousands of men and women in uniform are expressing right now. They feel like their commander-in-chief does not understand them or their values. If he understood them and their values, he would not have handed the Taliban a victory, made the Taliban stronger to bring back a man who placed his fellow men and women in uniform in mortal danger because he decided to turn his back on his country.
John, we appreciate your service to the country, and I appreciate your insight as someone that's serving active duty in the military. And I want to hear from other men and women that are serving as well. If you want to call us on air, our phone lines are jammed, but they'll open up in a little bit here. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Especially those of you maybe in the military or have family in the military. We want to get your impressions on this. So 1-800-684-3110. For those of you on the line, hang on the line here. We'll get to another call in a moment. But remember, we're here for a full hour, so we've got another 30 minutes of the broadcast on SiriusXM. You're getting the full hour. If not, just go over to aclj.org. But Than, you know, I don't like to, and you know, this is the ACLJ's view here. We don't just talk about the issues. We now have to figure out, and we've been working on, believe me, I've been going in and out of David's office. We've been doing this since about 8 o'clock this morning. We got to talk about what the action items are here, because we've got to channel this concern of the American people into concrete action and get a result so that this never happens again. And John, the caller that just called in, when he said, you know, we're forgetting how many men lost their lives and women or had their lives changed forever, capturing those five Taliban leaders, not just going after the sergeant. I mean, it's pretty unreal. So, Than, the question of the day is, I know Lindsey Graham has got some things working. What is the sense of what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, listen, we have to start with what John said. There is every reason to believe that these five terrorists are on the battlefield as we speak.
Oh, sure.
So the action has to be to prevent them from actually harming additional soldiers in addition to the ones that were already, you know, killed looking for Sergeant Bergdahl. So I think we start with this, Jay. Dianne Feinstein.
Pick them back up is what I say. Go get them. That's what the Israelis would do.
Certainly, but as far as a Hill perspective goes, there are going to be hearings, and I think Dianne Feinstein needs to be out front on them, because as an ally of the president, she would have credibility calling this into a hearing into session. So you've got to mitigate the damage. I don't know if that's possible, but that's where you have to start to try.
You know, these five guys are out there. Who knows what they're doing here? There would have been, as Will Haynes is pointing out, it's true, the Israelis would have had tactical airstrikes against these released ones anyways. But here's the point. David, you know, we only got 2 minutes. Folks, hang on the line here, those of you that have been holding patiently. We're going to get to your calls. But we're both giving you a live broadcast and also thinking out loud on how we're going to respond to this, because we're so outraged on it. Let's quickly here, but I want to talk to both you and Skip. So we know what the situation is. Let's talk about they're out. So they're in Qatar or gone. Who knows where they are. What can we now do? I mean, we do have special force. We have the ability to track people. Do we do it?
Well, if they're still in Qatar, we're not going to do that.
Right, because we told the Qataris we wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
Which is something else also, by the way.
Exactly. So, you know, here's what we need right now. We need absolutely full disclosure. We need to tell the American people what kind of people were released out there. What did they do that landed them in Gitmo? And then we need to tell the American people what Sergeant Bo Bergdahl did. We need full disclosure on his actions. Right now, the military, those in the military, had been sworn to secrecy. Now that he's been released, they are more free to talk, and the story they're telling is unbelievable.
Fan, is the president of the United States at the end of the day responsible for this?
Of course he is. The president and, oh, by the way, Secretary Hagel. This is what we got when they were brought in.
All right, and let me go right to Skip here. Skip, quickly. We know what the accountability is. We know the responsibility. Now we're going to talk about the action point, but what does this mean for our men and women in uniform right now, today?
If we go after them, it means that we're going to put more people at risk who did not have to be placed at risk. Mm. But I think that's going to be something that has to be done, because these people are absolutely dangerous, and given the opportunity, they will come against us.
What a colossal blunder by the Obama administration. What an unbelievable blunder this is going to be. Folks, I don't think we know the tip of this iceberg. If you're outraged about this, go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that petition right now, or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We want to get Miriam Ebrahim back with her kids, the Americans, out of that jail in Sudan. And then we're turning our attention tomorrow on our concrete action on this. We've got a lot more ahead on the broadcast, so stay with us. But again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. By the way, share the information about Miriam Ebrahim on Facebook, on Twitter. Get the information out there and visit BeHeardProject.com. When we come back from the break, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
is showing, and you're certainly not acting right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about the prisoner swap. We're talking about the whole Middle East thing. The left is even the New York Times, Washington Post. Nobody can believe this has happened, but some on the far left, David, have tried to paint this as, oh, the conservatives didn't want to rescue an American soldier, and that is not true.
You're seeing this on Think Progress.
First of all, let me say this. We need to draw the distinction that, based on the facts we have right now,
right,
between a deserter and a traitor. It's not the same thing.
Right, exactly. Right now, the evidence he deserted, not that he was a traitor,
right,
to actually join the Taliban.
We'll find that out in days ahead.
We'll find it out, right. But look, there's a difference between a rescue and a ransom. I don't know a single member of the military who says that we shouldn't, if we knew where he was, to go in, kill his captors, and take him back. You know what that is? That's a defeat for the Taliban when we take their hostage.
Right.
That's defeating the Taliban. I also don't know a single member of the military who says we should give the Taliban a victory by giving them their key leaders back to ransom a deserter. There's a difference between a rescue and a ransom. We did not rescue him. We ransomed him and gave the Taliban a victory. And that's a huge problem.
David French, by the way, is a major in the United States Army, Judge Advocate General, served in Iraq. Skip Ash, a Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army, retired, served in Korea, South Korea, was on the DMZ area. Skip, following up on what David just said, your sense of that issue, this whole idea of ransoming, rescue, I don't want anybody thinking we're saying don't get the American back.
No, that's exactly right. David was correct. We're willing to go in. We should be able to go in and get our man back and destroy those who are holding him. At the same time, we do not pay a ransom to bring back a potential deserter and give them a victory. So David is right on the money.
All right, so Than, do we know anybody right now on Capitol Hill, Democrat, Republican, Independent, that's saying this was a great thing?
Not anymore. Maybe initially, but not anymore. And I just to quickly echo what Skip said, there is also not a single member of Congress who is disagreeing that Sergeant Bergdahl should be here to figure out what happened. But I don't know of a one who at least didn't want the opportunity to look at the five detainees that were released before it actually happened. I don't know of a single one that's still there.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. Margie's calling from South Dakota. She's on line 3. Hi, Margie.
Hi, good morning. I'm a veteran of the Air Force.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. It was 33 years ago that I was in, and to this day, I still have the pride that I had when I was in the Air Force. And to go ahead, I think we should bring the guy back, the deserter, and make him serve his time here. His torture and time there is not enough for what he did to our country. He turned his back on everybody, and he needs to be justified for that. But at the same time, our president needs to be accountable and responsible for his decisions that he has made, not on just this, but everything. And I'm telling you, impeachment comes to my mind. It's time for our country to stand up and do something about his mistake.
And let me tell you something. If it was George W. Bush, you'd be hearing that from a lot of people right now. You're exactly right. And Margie, first, thank you for your service to the country in the United States Air Force. And I'm glad we're hearing from military men and women that have served, because I know this is. And let me tell everybody also, we are working. I mean, right, literally as we're speaking, we are working on exactly the way to channel this for tomorrow. We'll be able to announce how we're going to handle this and what we're going to have you do to engage the issue. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from the men and women that have served in the military or family members that have. I want to hear. I know we're on SiriusXM, so a lot of truckers, a lot of you guys are listening right now, and gals. 1-800-684-3110. This is going to be the last day on radio to sign the petition for Miriam Ibrahim. We're starting that legal work as well. That's already been in process. You can do it at BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. When we come back from the break, we're going to get right to your phone calls. We've got a lot more ahead. I'll tell you something, folks. President disregarding a law, always a dangerous thing. It doesn't matter who that president is. We'll be back in a moment.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones here. But before I do that, there is one senator who thought this was a good thing in getting rid of these Gitmo detainees. Take a listen.
We should get them out of there as quick as we can. We've been held up from doing that by the Republicans. I'm glad to get rid of these five people, send them back to Qatar.
There you go. Thank you, Harry Reid. Back to the phones we go. Than, who's next?
Wow.
Let's go, Dan. You said there wasn't one. We found one.
Well, you know, okay, they might be out of Gitmo, but I'm not so sure they're going to stay in Qatar. I think they're probably on the battlefield, no matter where they are. Let's go to Bill calling from line 5 on Texas. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, sexy Bill, but how are y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was just going to go and say I'm an Army retiree, served in 1970 to 1990.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the lady that was talking about Air Force had pride in saying, I'm proud of my service, but I am not proud of the administration and the commander-in-chief we've got. We don't have a commander-in-chief. Why does the American public think he's going to do anything with this lady that's in Sudan with her American children when he didn't do anything with a member of his administration in Benghazi and he thought
right.
Servicemen to the
world. Right, and that, you know, we're working on a book right now that's going to get into this. You know what the problem is? It's not just the presidency. It's entrenched deeper than the presidency. It's the bureaucracy, too, the people that run these entities, and this bias. But here's the thing with Miriam Ibrahim or Saeed Abedini. That guts against the president's narrative of, you know, the Muslim world's going to love us if we love them back, and a Christian, you know, a convert especially. Now, Ibrahim was not a convert, but a convert is, oh, you know, that's embarrassing to the White House that someone left Islam and became a Christian. It's absurd, but I will tell you this. We are fighting back on this on a lot of fronts, and again, if you want to sign that petition for Miriam Ibrahim, there's an easy way to do it at aclj.org or beheardproject.com or 1-877-989-2255. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got an opposing view coming in from Texas. John is on line 4. Welcome to the broadcast, John. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to provide support what the president did as commander-in-chief of America's armed forces. He doesn't need congressional approval.
Well, he thinks he did. And let me play back for you what Jay Carney asked about these questions.
John,
let's get the evidence out there, and then we can have a conversation. So let's play what Jay Carney said when asked about we have to follow the rules. There's a rule of notification that we have to give and clarification. Here's what the president's spokesperson said to the American people.
Point blank, does the president feel as though on this issue and this kind of issue he's above the law?
Absolutely not. To be clear, the 30-day notice requirement has appeared in NDAA bills and in other legislation in this and prior years, and we have repeatedly noted concerns with this requirement. In signing statements, the president has consistently made clear that the executive branch must have the flexibility to act swiftly in conducting negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of detainee transfers if necessary. And that was certainly the case here.
Now, Jay Carney has said multiple times, though, John, again, that was there's another bite there where he says earlier, this is when this first was being discussed, that, in fact, we have to follow through with the notice requirement. And we'll pull that in a moment. But, John, go ahead with your point.
As Commander-in-Chief of America's Armed Forces, he does not need congressional approval. You understand?
Well, exactly. When the president signs a law on a bill and says that, and his spokesperson says, I know I have to go to Congress with this, why? And Dianne Feinstein, so is Dianne Feinstein wrong?
That they didn't have to see congressional approval.
By the way, the bill did not say, by the way, the legislation, John, doesn't say congressional approval. It just says notification and certification. It doesn't say approval. They had to notify and certify. Excuse me?
Then why does he need to give it for?
Because the law says you've got to give notice and certification. Do we have that bite?
I will repeat it. As Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Armed Forces, he does not have to notify Congress to get the American out of enemy hands. Do you understand that?
Doesn't agree that the bill is constitutional, he should not sign it. That is the role of a president of the United States. If a bill comes to his desk that he believes is not constitutional, he should veto the bill. In this circumstance, the president of the United States signed the bill into law. It was his actual action, his action, that made this the law of the land. It was not just Congress's action. He cooperated with Congress to make this the law of the land, and the bill did not require him congressional approval.
No, there's not
only
it's
notification.
Not consent. Yeah, John, it's not consent. It's not consent. It's just notice and certification, and it's not to the entire Congress. You've said it four times, and we've said what the law is. We'll agree to disagree. How about that?
Not have to notify Congress to get an American soldier held in enemy hands released. Do you understand that?
No.
Wait a minute. He doesn't have to notify Congress to get an American soldier released. He has to notify Congress before giving the enemy back its commanders. That's a different thing entirely,
yeah, John. You understand that, right? This is not about going to get the soldier. We've been very clear on that. We think we should have gotten the soldier. We could have done it through a rescue operation or whatever other means necessary. The notice and certification requirement, John, does not relate to the sergeant. It relates to the Gitmo detainees. Now, do you think the president of the United States has the authority to release anybody he wants without notice when a law says you have to give notice and certification? Not going to get the soldier, releasing the Gitmo detainees. Do you think he has the authority to do that?
By enemy soldiers.
Hey, John, I'm not going to keep doing this because it's wasting airtime. You and I are talking about two different things. We're not arguing about going to get the soldier. We're arguing about the release of the Gitmo detainees. That's the notice requirement, not the going to get the sergeant.
The prisoners of war.
But you know what, John? You know, I don't know whose talking point you're reading, but it's a bad one. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Maryland on line 3. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, that guy got a lot of time.
Well, you know, he got a lot of time because I was trying to get him to understand what we're talking about, and clearly he's reading something from a paper and wasn't budging. But the reality is there's a big difference between going to get the soldier, even if the soldier deserted, I think we should go get the soldier, versus here are the 5 Gitmo detainees. That's where the notice and certification comes in. But go ahead, Sarah.
Everything done has been done to a calculated effect,
yep,
knowing how our enlisted would feel, and us too, and perhaps break morale everywhere. There are no accidents. You know, like Hannibal Lecter said, what does it do?
Yeah, you talk about the no accident, but I want to go to Skip Ash on this for a moment here because you brought up an important point, and I want to follow up on the last caller. Skip, you cannot conflate the sergeant's rescue, it wasn't really a rescue. In this case, it was a ransom swap. But going to get the soldiers, one thing. The release of the Gitmo detainees was something else.
That's exactly right. And you've said it very clearly. We're not questioning the fact that the president has the right and the obligation to get an American soldier back. What we are saying is that the law had nothing to do with that per se. It had to do with the release of these terrorists who are being held in Guantanamo Bay, and that's a completely different issue. It's like if the president decided he was just going to take $1 billion to pay. He just can't make all those decisions by himself. He has a lot of leeway, but he doesn't. He signs a law,
right?
Then he limits himself. And he violated the law that he agreed was constitutional when he signed it.
All right. Alejandro is calling from Madison, Alabama, on line 2. Alejandro, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, first, thank you for being on the front line for us in so many issues.
Thank you.
And second, I'm speaking on my behalf, and I'm not an active duty, but I work for the military of the United States.
Yes, sir.
And I have too many family members that also actually are in the active service, and it's not that this is a blunder, but many of us feel betrayed,
yeah,
which is the correct word. This is something that I think that it is unacceptable that we should, yeah, ever let someone do this. And unlike that previous caller that just said, oh, he's the commander-in-chief, relentlessly, we need to know that he is a president. He's not a dictator,
right,
like he's been acting lately. So we need people like you just in the front line. That is why I take part in your, not only in your petitions, but many of my family members donate to help you guys.
We appreciate that.
You're one of the few people that actually do something.
And, well, we couldn't do it without you all helping us. There's no doubt about it. I was at an event yesterday, and a lot of ACLJ donors were there, and they came up, and I said, and they were thanking us. And I'm saying, hey, thank you. We can't do it without you. And that's the truth of the matter. Hey, folks, we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We're going to lay out the action plan here on how to handle this. So that's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Last day on radio to sign the petition for Miriam. That's at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Remember, share that information. Get it out on Facebook. Like it. It's important to share this. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, so we're
Remember we talked earlier to John. He called and said, the president can do whatever he wants. He has the right to do this. Here's the president's spokesperson, Jay Carney, talking exactly about this whole transfer of Gitmo detainees and the notification and certification requirements of the law. Listen to this.
With regard to the transfer of Taliban detainees from Guantanamo Bay, the United States has not made the decision to do that, though we do expect the Taliban to raise this issue in our discussions if and when those discussions happen. As we have long said, however, we would not make any decisions about transfer of any detainees without consulting with Congress and without doing so in accordance with U.S. law.
And that was specifically about the sergeant's case. And now, of course, the president said, I don't have to follow that law. Back to the phones we go. John, I hope you're still listening because there you have it. Let's go right back to the phones. Who's next, then?
Let's go to Grant calling from Montana on line one. Grant, you're on the air.
Hi, Grant.
Hello, sir. Hey, I was calling to remind people about the guys that are fighting on the borders in Mexico. And they've been captured and are being held in the prisons of Mexico, but wait, we won't go help them, but yeah, we'll go.
Yeah, I mean, there you have one. Let me run that to David and Skip really quickly. Grant's a good question. You got the Marine that's in jail in Mexico, and what are we doing? And we've got great diplomatic relations with Mexico, and we can't get him out.
And all the evidence is he made a mistake. He just made a wrong turn driving into Mexico. It's unbelievable. And that guy's an actual real-life war hero. I mean, he had a couple of tours in Afghanistan, served with true honor and distinction, made a mistake, and has been chained to a bed in Mexico. I mean, it is
unbelievable.
That's why when I hear the administration saying over and over again, we leave no man behind, we leave no man behind, it makes me sick.
Yeah, well, I could think of a couple left behind. Saeed Abedini right now serving in a prison in Iran and talking about someone being chained to their bed. Miriam Ibrahim in a jail with her two kids, and the two kids happen to be American citizens. By the way, you can sign that petition, last day to do it on radio at BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let me take Robert from Arizona on line three. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Like everyone else, I just want to say I appreciate what you're doing, working so hard. I know as a veteran of the military myself, I'm appalled that that's the bottom line. You don't leave anyone behind, period.
Right.
No matter what. But I can't help but think with as many laws as Obama seems to just want to break willy-nilly and pass all these executive orders on his own without going through Congress, I know he's got his own agenda, and that's pretty obvious.
Well, the agenda is the narrative of ending the war in Afghanistan at all costs. That's the narrative, and that's what's playing out. And Skip, I think that's why we're seeing these kind of rogue actions by the administration.
I think that's exactly right. But I think there's also this whole series of scandals. It may also be that he was more afraid of the VA scandal.
Yep.
And this was an indication that, yes, he really is concerned about vets because he went to get one. But they're both going to blow up in his face, as they already have.
Now, Than, and we got a ton of callers. I'm going to have to do a rapid fire to get through the callers here. But, Than, I can't understand. I mean, I know we're saying the White House didn't expect this reaction. How could they not?
Skip is right on this. This was a diversion. This is the only thing I will add to what Skip said, Jay. The president might be done fighting in Afghanistan, and this might be his way of proving that. The Taliban is not done fighting, and they just got five of their leadership back.
All right, we're going right back to our phones. Randy is calling from California. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Hey, I just got a point I want to make about President Barack Obama.
Okay.
We've got an American hero rotting away in the Mexican jail, and he frees a guy that doesn't even want to be America. Now, President Barack Obama needs to understand that he's an elected official of the United States of America.
Well, he also needs to understand he has to comply with the law. And I don't understand how we have an active member of our military, David, in jail in Mexico when we've got unbelievably great relationships with the Mexican authorities.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we just not saying, give us our guy back?
It's a mystery. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't fit within the Obama agenda. When you fit within the Obama agenda, like wrapping up the war in Afghanistan, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
If you're a distraction, if you're an annoyance, well, you can rot in prison for all he cares.
All right. Again, I'm taking your calls, folks. We're going to have to do this pretty rapid fire. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go right to you as you call. I got Marty calling from California. Marty, you're on the air on line four.
Yeah,
I just want to say, Jay, thanks for taking my call, that if this had been done, I'm a former Marine.
Thank you for your service.
Era,
yep.
And if this committed a desertion in at wartime, this is under GCMJ, this is a capital offense. And for Susan Rice to come in and just say that he served honorably when all this information is coming out, they don't even research their information. I don't know how a commander-in-chief can even look himself in the eye when he pronounces the Marine Corps. I don't know. I'm so sad that our country
yep.
doesn't even know how to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, David,
I mean,
quickly here.
Desertion is a crime, and in fact, in 1945, there was an execution for desertion that Supreme Allied Commander Dwight Eisenhower signed off on. Desertion is a serious, serious offense, and I tell you, that tells me the Obama White House doesn't understand the military culture. They don't understand how great a betrayal desertion is and why it has always been seen like that in the military.
All right, what we're going to do right now is I'm going to try to hit you all these calls very quickly here. I hope to get to everybody. Our phone lines are still jamming up. Robert on line one. Go ahead, Robert, quickly, please.
Yes, sir. I'm retired from the U.S. Army.
Thank you again for your service.
Thank you. What the president has done is a kick in the teeth to everyone who is actively serving honorably, and it's a kick in the teeth to all the people, the families who have lost their loved ones serving in Afghanistan and everywhere else. And in my opinion, he has his agenda, and if we don't fit it within his agenda, we're just nothing but pawns. And he needs to answer for this.
Well, we're going to put together a plan. Let me tell you this, Robert. We're going to put together a plan that's going to address what we can do here. And we're going to get that resolved very quickly. And I think we will have a plan in place by the time we go on air tomorrow. That's going to be what we're trying to do. So we're working on that. Literally, we've been every break and early this morning, we've been talking about this. We're going to put a plan in place that makes sense legally to hold people accountable for this. I mean, when you got Dianne Feinstein joining Saxby Shambliss, it tells you what's going on here. Folks, we're just not going to be able to get to every phone call because our lines are all jammed. Let me tell you this. For Sandy, Jess, and Todd and Tom, call us tomorrow. We'll get you. If you get in, we'll get you on priority. We will get to you tomorrow. I promise we'll do our best at least to do that. We'll have a game plan laid out tomorrow on exactly what we want to do on this. We are going to fight back as we do at the ACLJ. We don't just talk about it. We do something about it. Again, I want to also urge you, this is the last day for you to sign, at least on radio. We'll still have it up, of course, at BeHeardProject.com. The petition for Miriam Ibrahim's release and her kids, those American kids, at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. I urge you to sign that petition for her. We are starting that work. It's already begun. It's been started since we first were made aware of it, but now we've got almost, we'll get to 350,000 with phone calls. We're probably very close. And we will then start moving this aggressively on her behalf. It's not in the news right now because of all this other stuff, but rest assured, the ACLJ, we are working on it for you, for her kids, for her husband, and for all the others that are represented by her in the persecuted church, which is a huge issue. Again, pray for our real concrete ideas of what we want to come up with today. Pray for us. We appreciate that. Again, if you want to sign that petition for Miriam, BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. It's the latest from our band here at JSecular Live.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.